inspires faith, not the other way around. Faith does not create a perception, an illusion, or an hallucination of the risen Jesus. In John's account of the resurrection, Peter and another faster-running disciple, who appears to be John and Mary, don't arrive looking for a risen Jesus. They are looking for, at best, a corpse. They can think no further than a stolen body when the tomb is empty. There is no faith to be found inside these people as they come to the tomb that day. They are no more likely to believe in a risen Jesus than you or I. Yet when Jesus meets them, faith awakens. John tells us the most about Mary's journey to faith. I just love it. That bit where she says, oh, thinking he was the gardener. Duh. He was the gardener. Yes, we get a mention of Peter and John, but it's Mary that we have this touching account of coming to faith. She was the first one at the tomb, and even in the cold darkness, she can see the stone is gone. After the disciples leave, in whatever state of mind they were, she stays. Standing weeping, she looks in the tomb and sees two angels. Nearly always in the Bible, when people see angels, they kind of faint or panic or freak out or something. But not Mary. She so wants to find the body of Jesus. All she can say is, okay, angels, where's the body? Verse 14, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but didn't realize it was Jesus. Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said. Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I'll get him. Jesus said, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Well, just for a moment, let's remind ourselves about what these gospel stories are. Oxford professor and theologian, famous man C.S. Lewis says this, I have been reading poems, romances, vision literature, legends, myths all my life. I know what they are like. I know that not one of them is like this. Of these gospel texts, there are only two possible views. Either this is reportage, pretty close up to the facts, nearly as close as Boswell, or else some unknown writer in the second century, without predecessors or successors, suddenly anticipated the whole technique of modern novelistic realistic narrative. The reader who does not see this has simply not learned to read. Just a reminder about the character of these gospel accounts. And Mary is in a mess, distraught. She misses the significance of the grave clothes, which others might have perceived. She misses the point of the angels, and initially, even the risen Jesus standing there with her. Mary is a great example of the priority of grace. Mary is doing everything wrong. She is making every mistake possible. She thinks Jesus is dead. She's trying to find a dead Jesus when he's alive. She thinks this is the gardener when it's actually the one she's looking for. She talks to angels. She still doesn't get it. Why did Jesus choose Mary for this first personal resurrection appearance? Perhaps because she was most aware of the grace of God towards her. It's easy to lose track of the Marys in the New Testament, at least four mentioned, but this is generally held to be Mary Magdalene, the Mary from whom Jesus cast seven demons. So Mary had been on the outside of every single category the world had. She was at the bottom of the heap. And she gets the good news first. And that's the gospel of the resurrected Jesus. Not on the basis of merit or cleverness or the basis of pedigree or race or class or gender. It's about grace. And it's not an accident that women have such a high place among the witnesses to the resurrection. This is not just some kind of weird political correctness. The exact opposite. First century, the witness of women was despised and disregarded. Josephus, a historian of that period, said that even the witness of multiple women was not acceptable because of the levity and the boldness of their sex. Celsus, the second century critic of Christianity, mocked the idea of Mary Magdalene as an alleged resurrection witness, referring to her as a hysterical female deluded by sorcery. And this background is important for two reasons. First, just remind us that the kingdom of God turns the world system on its head, and where the women become the apostles, the ones sent to the apostles, that shows Jesus turning the values of this world up on its head. And secondly, it is a reminder of the historical accuracy of the resurrection accounts. If somebody was going to make stuff up then, you wouldn't give women the starring role. It just would not happen. They would not be your eyewitnesses. So resurrection inspires faith, not the other way around. And secondly, finally, the resurrection shows us how the story ends and begins again with the best to come. Because the resurrection in John's gospel points forward. Jesus said to her, Mary. She cried out, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. It is the sending that turns a disciple into an apostle. A disciple is a follower or a learner, an apostle is one sent. So Mary is sent as an apostle to the apostles. And that's what it's about. We go from being learners, we always stay learners, but we go from being disciples to apostles, to one sent with this good news. The odd description of Jesus telling Mary to stop clinging onto him points forward. When she holds onto him and says, oh, Rabboni, teacher, she thinks it's going to be like the good old days. Like when we saw Lazarus resuscitated and we can all be happy again. But no. Because there is a new age coming. When Jesus says, don't hang on to me, he's really saying, Mary, you don't meet the resurrected Jesus so you can carry on with your agenda. You meet the resurrected Jesus so you can make me reach my agenda. That's the change. You don't hang on to Jesus so he can do your thing. He welcomes you so you can do his thing. You don't get God coming into your life to meet your needs so that you can do what you want. You are drawn into his agenda. You are not your own anymore. So what does it mean? Well, it's like every great story, every epic, you know, the great legends or stories and even the great movies, you know, even the Marvel character universe, they're great stories. And you find normally an ordinary person is walking along, not looking for things, and suddenly they get caught up in some epic adventure. You are going to save the world. It's kind of how it works with the resurrection. Because now we are lifted up into some epic. This is what the resurrection of Jesus does for us, but for real. Because it puts our story into the great story of God saving this world. It invites you and me to have a part of it and to be involved in it. So the resurrection inspires faith, turns us into apostles. One sent to be part of a mission. It shows us what the kingdom is like. It turns it upside down and it invites any and everybody who will to be part of it. Let me pray for us for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you that grace opens the door wide, that the living Lord Jesus calls us to follow him in an agenda to change the world. Help us to give up our small ambitions or our agenda And it said, seek to be part of his for the glory of God and the good of others. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.